Verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight in your word. Would you help us to see Jesus as worthy of all things? Would we glory in his love for us and how he has demonstrated on the cross? Lord, would we continue to glory in his love as we see his graces in our life? Would you teach us and compel us with your word? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we unpack this passage this evening, during our time, we're going to see that our main idea tonight is gaining Christ's righteousness and resurrection is worth losing all things. Again, gaining Christ's righteousness and resurrection is worth losing all things. Our outline this evening is really simple. Verses 7 through 9, we'll first see the worth of gaining Christ's righteousness. And then verses 10 through 11, we will next see the worth of gaining Christ's resurrection. And throughout, we will see that these two benefits are infinitely worth more than anything else this world has to offer. So context, where we've been in Philippians, and we're now here. We've been through it the whole time. And as we dive into our text, we will need to remember that thus far, we've seen that the theme of it thus far is, as citizens of heaven, Christians are to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. And recently, in chapter 3, we've seen Paul warn the church of the dogs, the false teachers who put their confidence in the flesh and instruct that Christians put confidence in Christ. Paul is instructing that the Christians put their confidence in Christ. Now in Philippians 3, 7 through 11, Paul is still contrasting the false teachers from the previous passage and doing so by showing them that gaining Christ's righteousness and resurrection is worth losing all things. So our first point, our first benefit, like I said, is the worth of gaining Christ's righteousness. So look down at verse 7. Paul's references that the gain that he previously had. He's referencing all those credentials and being a Pharisee and all these things. And he's saying that he counts them as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul has found a greater righteousness in Christ. And it's available through faith, as we see in verse 9. He wants this righteousness, and he is willing to give up all for it. And in verse 7, he says, he's talking about the gain he had. And then look down at verse 8. He goes one step further and says that he's willing to give up everything for it. And then he actually goes on a step further and says he's actually suffered it. So he counted it worth his suffering, and then he did suffer. And then he goes one step further and says that old life that he previously had, he counts that old stuff as garbage. And we see it says rubbish, garbage. It's a pretty provocative word. You could say dung or filth or whatnot. But we get the point that he's not looking fondly at his past life before Christ. Christ is so much more. He can't even compare. And what he had previously is closer to something repulsive than anything to Christ. We see this great reversal in Acts 9. Paul is zealous before Christ for his righteousness, to gain his righteousness. He's so zealous to earn his own righteousness, he's willing to kill for it. Until he's on the road to Damascus and encounters the one that was killed. The one that was righteous, that didn't deserve to be killed. And he's not the same. We see everything shift, the great reversal. As he comes in contact with Christ on the road, he's no longer working for his righteousness. After he's placed his faith in Christ, he sees that his standing with God is in Christ. And when God looks down at him, he sees God's perfect record. With this status, God no longer looks at Paul, but sees Christ's perfection. So Paul throws himself onto Christ and abandons all of his previous life for the joy of Christ and sees his old life as garbage. And look down at verse 9. Paul is clear that righteousness comes through faith in Christ. It's so nice, he had to say it twice. He says, it comes through faith in Christ, and then he says, depends on faith. So, what is faith? Well, Paul's experience here in verse 8 and 9, he's been describing faith. Faith is the experience of having Christ's surpassing worth, value, treasure, resulting in all else becoming loss. In Paul's mind, there is no way, there's no halfway faith. It's not a passive intellectual exercise, but an active transfer of trust over to Jesus and his righteousness, and not trusting in anything in ourselves. Y'all remember the recent snow we just had? Everything white. My dirty car was white. Heritage, with all the construction going on, white. For those whose faith is in Christ, their life is covered with the snow of Christ's righteousness. So that all the Father sees is Christ's righteousness and not the garbage of our previous life. It is not our righteousness, but it is Christ that is covering us now. And unlike snow, it never melts away. It never turns in different color or anything. But we will have this righteousness until death when we see God. And we will have this righteousness that will be ours until the resurrection, until we're glorified. Do you possess this treasure? Do you possess this righteousness? If you do not, look to Christ and see the one that is ready to forgive sinners. Look at your life and see your efforts, how they can do no good. They can do no good for your soul. And Christ's righteousness is worth giving up all for, all of your life for. Put your faith in Christ's death and resurrection and turn from your life of sin and live for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Church member, Christian, look to Christ this evening and be reminded of the surpassing value that we have in him. Paul looked at the things that he had lost because of Christ and saw them as filth in comparison to Christ. But what about you? How do you look at your previous life? Do you look fondly on the things that you had apart from Christ? Or the things in your life that aren't consistent with Christ? Do you long for those kind of fake joys that they could bring? Church family, let us find our value in Christ and live from him. Glory in Christ and the righteousness that we have in him. No one questions if a sunset is beautiful, but we have beautiful ones often. But it may not be recognized by those that live under it, that fail to look up, that are too hurried to look up or go outside. But let us take in glory in Christ. Let us look up, take heart, and press on as we remember and remind one another of the worth of Christ's righteousness that we possess. Gaining Christ's righteousness is worth losing all things, And secondly, gaining Christ's resurrection is worth losing all things. That's our second point. Paul highlights two aspects of Christ's resurrection. First, in verse 10, we see the present resurrection. In verse 11, we see the future resurrection. So let's take those in turn and look at the resurrection life, the present resurrection life. Remember what Paul said in the previous section? In verse 8, he said, I have suffered all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So Paul is it by faith or is it by suffering all things? It's by faith, but for Paul, it was the consistency of his faith and the resurrection life that he now possessed that caused him to suffer all things. It was the resurrection life that caused him, that pushed him to follow Christ with all and to leave behind all that he had before and to actually suffer. God's power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have in present and is active in our life and is of the life of the believer that is forming us in the image of Jesus. Do we believe this? The same power that raised Christ after he was three days in the grave is the same power that is transforming us today. This is a power that Paul is striving after. The resurrection life also takes on the shape of suffering and death as we grow in Christ's likeness. Believer, what do we expect if we are to grow more and more like the man of sorrows of Psalm 53? Paul expected to take on suffering, and we should too. But it's because of the resurrection that we can count it all joy. Or rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer dishonor for his name. The resurrected life is worth losing all things. Next, look down at verse 11. Paul is looking towards the future resurrection. By all means, I may gain the resurrection from the dead. But what is the resurrection from the dead that Paul is aiming his whole life towards? In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, Paul wrote about it. And this is when Christ returns to earth to call all believers to himself, bodily in their glorified state. As he describes the resurrected reality, he concludes this passage as with, and he says, and we will always be with the Lord and encourage one another with these words. Believer, this is our hope. You will always be with Christ in the resurrection. You will be made whole like your Savior. Be comforted by this hope. We talked about it this morning, the victory that Christ will have, that God will have in the final day. Believer, be encouraged by this resurrection hope and be encouraged that you have assurance of this resurrection hope if you are in Christ. Romans 8:30 speaks of this resurrection as it's already happened. Paul writes again, he says, those whom he justified, he also glorified. God looks at us as if we have already been glorified. And Thomas Watson captured this thought in a profound way when he wrote, the body shall rise again. We are not so sure to rise out of our beds as we are to rise out of our graves. There are a few things in life we can be sure about. We wish we knew the future as in the present. Next month, I'm running the Bentonville Half Marathon, and I wish I had assurance that I was going to finish. Let alone that I would win. There's zero chance. I'm not guaranteed of either of those things. But imagine I'm driving down the road, and I see a billboard, Jeremiah 2025, winner of the half marathon in Bentonville. Before I even ran it, that would be wild. But I would run that race quite differently, right? If I knew I was going to win, I would push through each cramp. I would climb each hill because I knew what waited for me in the finish line. Saint, you will finish this race and you will win Christ, your prize. You have the present power of Christ's resurrection conforming you to the image of Christ, allowing you to finish this race. Run with endurance. We never stop running because our prize is not won till eternity. And on that day, you will win Christ your prize, and you will have Christ forevermore. Gaining Christ's righteousness and resurrection is worth losing all things. Let's pray. Father, you have blessed us immensely in Christ. Let us walk by faith together as a church, looking towards that day. Let us run to the end until we gain the resurrection. I pray our faith would be consistent with our lives, Lord, and you would be witnessed by this world, by the love that we share as we glorify you. Lord, may we glorify you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.